What a day. This morning, Arizona Senator Jeff Flake announced he would vote yes to move Brett Kavanaugh's nomination to the Supreme Court to the full Senate from the Judiciary Committee. He was then confronted by angry, tearful women. And by this afternoon, when the committee vote was supposed to take place, he emerged to say he'd vote for the nominee if there was at least a week delay in the Senate vote to allow for an FBI investigation. The committee voted to move forward, but it's not clear if that investigation will really happen. Meanwhile, yesterday's testimony from Kavanaugh and his accuser, Christine Blasey Ford, still reverberates. Two people, two stories, two ways of telling them. Professor Ford was deferential.
It is not my responsibility to determine whether Mr. Kavanaugh deserves to sit on the Supreme Court. My responsibility is to tell you the truth.
Judge Brett Kavanaugh was combative. Here's an exchange with Democratic Senator Amy Klobuchar, who just referenced her father's problem with alcohol and asked Kavanaugh about his use.
So you're saying there's never been a case where you drank so much that you didn't remember what happened the night before or part of what happened?
You're asking about, blackout. I don't know. Have you?
Could you answer the question, Judge? That's not happened. Is that your answer?
Yeah, and I'm curious if you have.
I have no drinking problem, Judge.
Yeah, nor do I.
Okay, thank you.
Well, after the break, Judge Kavanaugh apologized.
Just going to say, I started my last colloquy by saying to Senator Klobuchar how much I respect her and respected what she did at the last hearing, and she asked me a question at the end that I responded by asking her a question, and I did that. This is tough process. I'm sorry about that.
I appreciate that. I would like to add, when you have a parent that's alcoholic, you're pretty careful about drinking.
But what if Klobuchar wasn't that gracious, or Ford for that matter? It was a he said, she said, but what about how they said it? Lily Gorin is professor of political science at Carroll University in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Professor Gorin, thanks for joining us.
Sure. Thanks for having me on today.
So what did you hear when it came to what people are saying? Were very different approaches.
Yeah. And I think that that's part of what is being dissected and considered. A lot of people talked to me about that yesterday, that Professor Blasey Ford was composed and also presented a bit of vulnerability or fragility, but was also cooperating and, sort of steady. And that, it was quite a contrast when Judge Kavanaugh came to speak, that he started out in a very kind of incandescent rage, if you will, and then was extremely combative. And then you also had Senator Lindsey Graham, who was also sort of demonstrating a kind of rage in his questioning.
Let's hear a little bit of Lindsey Graham.
To my Republican colleagues, if you vote no, you're legitimizing the most despicable thing I have seen in my time in politics.
So, Professor Gorin, it's hard to imagine if Christine Blasey Ford had unleashed that kind of rage. But the New York Times media critic writes, this is a demonstration of how men and women are socialized to speak in public, one rewarded for being furious, the other rewarded for not being shrill. Which means, of course, a woman can't be furious because it's interpreted as being shrill.
Or hysterical.
Do you agree, that this is sort of, to do it any other way, especially for the woman, would just not have been well received?
Yeah, and you can also look at the difference between the way that Christine Blasey Ford presented herself before the Judiciary Committee and when a black woman, an African-American woman in Anita Hill, who had to present herself actually not as being vulnerable when she spoke in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Yeah. Let's listen to a little more of Christine Blasey Ford. Here's one interaction between her and the Judiciary Chair, Chuck Grassley.
Ms. Mitchell for Senator Graham, and then it's my understanding that's where you'd like to take a break.
Does that work for you? Does that work for you as well?
We're here to accommodate you, not
oh,
you
thank
accommodate
you.
Us.
I'm used to being collegial. So.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm used to being collegial. We hear it there. She could be referring to the academic world as opposed to the world of politics, but people interpreted that as being a woman.
Yeah. And again, you know, even in the academic world, we academics know from the way that our students perceive us and what they say on student evaluations, that there's a big difference in terms of, you know, sort of the presentation of information by men and women in the classroom, by African-American men or white men in the classroom, by women of color in the classroom versus white women in the classroom.
Well, Zoe Chance, who's a marketing professor at the Yale School of Management, said that in terms of, you know, winning over public opinion, both Ford and Kavanaugh did the right thing yesterday, because there is research showing that, you know, everything we've been saying, men can seem to be more influential and competent through shows of anger, women less so. But in this case, it's a man, and understandably angry because he's been accused, although she's also been accused of lying. But on the other hand, others are pointing out this is exactly the kind of anger that is a trigger for women who have been abused.
Yeah. If you also think about it, his anger was presented by him explaining that he is a victim of these attacks on his character, on his name. I mean, he said repeatedly about his name being besmirched. And yet you have Christine Blasey Ford, who's also saying, I was a victim of this particular incident. So you have two forms of victim presentation.
Well, and we heard that in his voice when he talked about how his daughter talked about at her nightly prayers that she should pray for this woman who had accused her father. There were tears there. Some said that that was inappropriate, but others have pointed out, and Glenn Sachs, interesting, he writes about men's issues a lot, and he was really upset that Kavanaugh was being criticized for welling up and having tears. Glenn Sachs says this is part of the constraints on men.
And I think that's part of the sort of ongoing discussion about these issues around toxic masculinity, the strength of women in positions of power. And, you know, we have this discussion during the 2016 election with regard to Hillary Clinton, as she's articulated a kind of very narrow bandwidth that she's allowed to operate in as a public female who is running for office.
Yeah.
Christine Blasey Ford wasn't running for office.
Yeah.
She was presenting herself in terms of what she said was a civic duty.
Well, in some ways, the humanity, the ordinariness in her voice struck a lot of people. But can you talk for a second about her voice? There was discussion on some of the networks covering this that it sounded girlish. Others pointed out, and I noticed this in some of the social media, that women who are talking about assault when they're, you know, 15 might go back to that age.
Well, and again, you know, I've never met her or seen her speak. And so I don't have anything also to compare it to.
Yeah, right. You don't know if that's just her voice. But whatever happened in the hearing room yesterday, today, other voices were unleashed. And I just want to get your thoughts on this. This is right after Arizona Republican Senator Jeff Flake said that he would vote in favor of Judge Kavanaugh. He was thought to be a swing vote. Women approached him. He was on the elevator. So the camera shot is from behind these women. One said that she was a survivor of sexual assault and that he was telling women in America that they should keep quiet about that. Let's listen.
Look at me when I'm talking to you. You're telling me that my assault doesn't matter, that what happened to me doesn't matter, and that you're going to let people who do these things into power.
Just, Professor Gorin, as we go, look at me when I'm talking to you. He wasn't. He was looking kind of shamefaced down at the ground. Do you think this moment in time is going to shift some of these hardened dynamics? The woman is conciliatory, or she's seen as hysterical, and the man can be angry.
I don't know if the, you know, ramifications of this kind of dynamic that we saw yesterday will have an impact on, you know, our sort of cultural understanding of how women and men can present their emotions. And again, there's a big distinction between white women and women of color and white men and men of color in terms of what they can and cannot publicly demonstrate in terms of emotions.
Lily Gorin, professor of political science and chair of the Department of History, Political Science, and Religious Studies at Carroll University. Thank you.
Thank you for having me today.
Your thoughts welcome here and now.org.